Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where we sell results and not hope. Happy early National Signing Day. I am Tyler Hayward. This is our signing day broadcast, as we actually have Anthony Iani coming on to talk Michigan State basketball tomorrow. We'll probably cover the recruits and everybody who commits to Michigan State next week sometime. Like I said, I am Tyler Hayward. Our iSports MSU recruiting insider, Ryan McCumber, is with me as well. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can find and like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report. Ryan, I said we are going to start talking about some of the recruits, some of the possibilities that we have coming to East Lansing. But let's start with your thoughts about Michigan State basketball. They looked pretty good on Sunday night for the most part.
Oh, yeah. They since the debacle against Nebraska, they've been playing pretty well. You're going to win every single game if you shoot 17, if you just make 17 three-pointers. But, yeah, the shooting has been lights out. I mean, they're getting some help inside. All around, they look good right now.
Well, you talked about the 17 records that tied a school record. The 17 threes that tied a school record. And they've gotten, in addition to doing that, though, they've gotten help on the inside. Deontay Davis, he's contributed, maybe not so much on the offensive end, but he's at least contributed on the defensive end. Matt Costello, though, he's been the shining star on the inside.
Yeah, like I've said before, I think he's probably been the best player for MSU since conference play started. He's a walking double-double right now. I criticized him a lot years before because I thought that he had the potential to be a very good player. And, I mean, it took a while, but at this point he's living up to what I thought he could be.
Now, the one issue that people would have with Brooks, I mean, it's not necessarily people. I mean, the general fan base, you know, they watched it. They enjoyed it. It is what it is. It was a three-point shooting contest, and Steph Curry looked like he put on the number five for the first half of that game, the way Brent Forbes was playing. But Tom Izzo said it, this week we're not working on our shooting. We're going to be trying to guard somebody. And the thing is they allowed about an average amount of points to Rutgers. The problem is a lot of those points came off one-on-one type situations or backdoor cuts, which is the same type of offense. Obviously, it's not exactly the same or whatever, but some of the same concepts are there that Michigan has in their playbook.
Yeah, that's a great point. Michigan State, I mean, defensively, they have improved since Tom Izzo was talking about, they need to learn how to guard with not using their hands so often. But they get beat on backdoor cuts. That's what a lot of Rutgers, like you said, Rutgers did. Because they're not a three-point shooting team, but all they rely on their lack of an inside play with all the players that they had injured and backdoor cuts. And MSU got beat a decent amount, and that's something that they obviously need to work on if they want to beat U of M.
Right, and, I mean, to throw salt on top of the wound, if you will, Michigan State, they did a good job guarding the three, but the problem with looking at that number is it's Rutgers. Rutgers is irrelevant in the Big Ten right now. In both the major revenue sports, with the exception of Leonte Carew, the wide receiver for the football team. And so, coming back, it's going to be a tougher challenge as Michigan State moves forward. but at the same time, it's also a solvable challenge, especially since I believe the latest thing I've heard is Tum Tum Nairn. He's going to try to get some shots up today without his boot, and not that his offense is going to make that much of a difference, but, and with all due respect to Aaron Harris, someone needs to guard Derek Wollen.
Absolutely, and, you know, you and I have talked about this before. People have complained about Tum Tum Nairn and his lack of offensive output, but at the same time, you have noticed a drop-off defensively since he has gotten hurt, and he's somebody that you can put on Derek Walton, who's one of their best players. And I mean, Aaron Harris, he flashes a little bit defensively. I mean, he played Melo Trimble very, very well, and I was thinking before that game, oh, man, you've got Aaron Harris guarding Trimble. Trimble's going to go off. But, you know,
Trimble did get his. Trimble shot from the field, but he worked for everything.
Yeah, Harris played well on him defensively during that game. And, but, you know, Nairn, you could see the defensive drop-off with him gone. I mean, it's just obvious that they need him back if you're going to cover guards consistently. I mean, every once in a while, yeah, Harris is going to play good defense, but you can't count on that every game.
Right. His defense is about as spotty as his jump shot right now. I mean, when it's on, and it's really, it's actually kind of impressive because he's so gifted athletically. Like, he should have it. The biggest part of defense is, mental aptitude. And the fact that Aaron Harris has these physical tools, he should turn out to probably the best perimeter defender on the team just because he's a little rangier than Tum Tum is. And he's got a quick first step side to side. Problem is he just spaces out sometimes. And so, he'll get it together. He is getting it together. His defense has already improved from the beginning of the season. And it's only going to get better moving forward. The problem is Michigan has four shooters on the floor at any given moment. The fact that Deontay Davis has issues guarding on the wing, they need at least Aaron Harris to step up.
Yeah. And, and playing off your point of big men, I'm going to go into my own little thing here. Michigan State should absolutely dominate Michigan on the boards and in the post. Michigan's big men, they're not awful, but I think that they're average probably at best. And when you have guys like Deontay Davis and Matt Costello, that should not be play down low should not be an issue in this game. It's going to be covering those shooters, like you said. And, you know, MSU might have to go with a smaller lineup here and there because Michigan's going to have guys who can – they're going to face the floor with shooters. And it's going to be very challenging for MSU. And like you said, Harris has to play defense on Saturday.
All right. Well, we'll get more into the X's and O's tomorrow. Matt Hepner is going to be on with me, and he's going to help me out with an interview we have with former Spartan Anthony Iani. He's been to a couple Final Fours. He knows what it takes to beat Michigan. And then on Thursday, we have a former Division I basketball player, Jeremy Thiel, coming on the show. He actually started this podcast up with me. He'll be on, and he'll help break it down from a U of M perspective, him being a big Michigan fan, and he's seen what they've done all year. So we'll dive more into the X's and O's as we go on. Ryan, we'll get your prediction a little bit later on today, but tomorrow is National Signing Day, and there's a lot going on about Michigan State, especially with the talk about what is happening 45 minutes down the road with that recruiting. So let's dive right in and let's start talking about some of these recruits. And, I guess the best starting point is with LaVert Hill. LeVert Hill yesterday wore Michigan State stuff. Today, at school, Penn State gear. There's a third school in the mix that would probably propel that recruiting class of theirs up to number one in the country, and that's Michigan. What's the latest on LeVert Hill?
I think that he's probably going to pick U of M. It's hard to say no to your brother. I mean, even if he's only there for a year with him. And the fact that he's visited U of M so often, apparently he was there over the weekend. It just makes me think that he's going to pick U of M. I mean, his buddies are all going to MSU, but MSU's had to make up a lot of ground. I think this is really comparable to what Michigan had to deal with Donnie Corley, just making up a ton of ground, and there's just not enough time to do it. I don't see him going to MSU. I think he winds up at U of M.
All right, so he's going to U of M, according to you. What about Michael Onwenu, who
committed
to U of M, who committed to U of M, yet also has an open recruiting policy right now, an open door. So what's going on with him?
Yeah, this is a really odd recruitment. He seems solid to Michigan, and I interviewed him 2.5 years ago before he had offers, I think. And he was very interested in Michigan State. Obviously, being a Detroit guy, he knows Curtis Blackwell, MSU's recruiting coordinator, really well. It's usually odd when you see a kid remove whatever school they're committed to from their Twitter bio, as much as I don't read into that stuff as much. But apparently he's making his decision tonight. I personally think he's going to stick with Michigan. But it is very odd that he feels the need to announce a decision when he's still apparently committed to U of M. He visited Michigan State on an official a couple weeks ago after MSU offered him. But I think he's going to stick with U of M. He is friends with Demetric Vance and Donnie Corley. I think that he'll stick with U of M. MSU is recruiting him as a defensive lineman. U of M apparently wants him on the offensive line. So we'll see, but I think Michigan State came into the game too late.
Right. Well, those are probably, you would think they're the two big names that Michigan State fans, that they're kind of watching for as, some of these last-second commitments are made today, like Onwenu. You also have, obviously National Signing Day tomorrow. What are some other big names to watch, to keep an eye on?
The big name that I think Michigan State is going to get tomorrow is Prince Sammons out of Cincinnati. He is listed as a defensive lineman, but Alan Tryu said yesterday that he thinks that Sammons projects best as an offensive tackle, and I actually agree with him on it. The kid's 6'8", about 280 pounds. He just moved to the States a few years ago, so he's very raw. A kid like that usually goes to Ohio State, but since he's from Cincinnati, but Sammons just moved to the state a couple years ago, so Ohio State hasn't been much of a factor in his recruitment. It's apparently down to Michigan State and Auburn. He visited Auburn this past weekend on an official, and he was at MSU a few weeks ago. Most of the signs are pointing towards the Spartans, so I like MSU to pick him up.
Yeah. Well, you said people like that usually go to Ohio State. People like LJ Scott usually go to Ohio State, too, and I think
that's
we all saw
true.
How that turned
yeah.
out. So,
I got another name, a couple other names I forgot to mention. Jalen Cochran was offered yesterday. He is a defensive lineman out of Canton, Michigan. Late offer. He visited at the basketball game on Sunday, and it's looking like Michigan State's going to pick him up. He's not highly rated, but at the same time, I trust Mark Antonio and his staff's evaluation a lot, so I think he might project best as a tight end. He's built pretty big. Another kid to look for is Kramadai Abute, defensive lineman, recent Penn State decommit. I think he's going to wind up at Temple, but yesterday Triu said that he thinks that Diabute winds up at Michigan State. So, I mean, that's more of a toss-up than – I think that's probably the biggest toss-up out of all the guys that you and I have mentioned that are left on the board. So, we'll see. Those are the guys that I'm looking at tomorrow.
Okay, so we've talked about
six guys about six guys right now. It might have been five. I'm not 100% sure. I wasn't keeping count. Based upon the commitments that Michigan State has, how many scholarships are available for what is left out there in the pool?
I'd say at most they're going to take four guys. But, I mean, you never know with all the transfers. Some happen in the summer. You know, some might happen in the spring. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I think that at most they're going to take four, but I think they get probably two or three. So we'll see.
What would you consider successful?
Getting two guys. I think that getting two guys like Diabate and Sammons would be a big enough haul. I mean, this class is, or even without signing anybody tomorrow, this is Mark D'Antonio's best class he's ever had. But I think that a successful haul tomorrow is two guys. Probably Diabate and Sammons would be my preference, but, I mean, even if he just gets Cochran and Sammons, that's still a very, very pretty good haul on signing day.
Well, now going back and kind of looking at the recruiting picture as a whole, what would you say has been the biggest surprise, the best surprise for Curtis Blackwell and Mark D'Antonio?
I think the biggest get, biggest surprise, honestly. I'm not really sure. I mean, if they get Sammons tomorrow, the way that the things looked in the summer with him, I don't think anybody thought he was coming to Michigan State. I think that would be the biggest surprise. But right now, I really liked the way that they picked up the defensive lineman in the summer. This is one of the best defensive line recruiting classes in the country. I think that was a surprise to me because, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, Michigan State's lucky if they get one of those guys, and they pick up four of them, so.
Well, you said that the hauling on the defensive line was nice, but you look at that receiver class. You look at what is leaving Michigan State this year with, you know, Burbridge and King's both checking out. What class, and it could be out of any of them, or what position group, and it can be out of any of them, would you say is the best right now?
You know, this is so tough because you got the defensive line and the wide receivers, which are clearly the two best groups that are coming in this class. But, you know, with the way that I think that the wide receivers are going to make an early impact, I've got to go with that. Because you've got four-star, pretty highly rated four-star recruits coming in there. And, you know, the lowest rated guy, I think he might have the highest ceiling out of all these players because he's switching from quarterback Tristan Jackson. He's switching from his position at quarterback that he played in high school, and he's learning a brand-new position. So, obviously, the staff is going to take him as a wide receiver, and he doesn't have that much experience there. He clearly has a very, very high ceiling athletically, and I think that the wide receiver group is just going to be really, really, really good. All four guys have the potential to be great wide receivers.
If Onwuanu does end up flipping, does that make the defensive line class better?
Yes, and Diabate, too. He's also a guy that plays on the defensive line. If they get one of those guys, then yeah, I'd say the defensive line class is better than the wide receivers.
Who would you say, if you're looking at guys, I mean, we're kind of talking about Tristan Jackson trying to learn a new position, obviously. that does automatically almost give you the higher ceiling. Is there any guy who Michigan State should keep an eye on, that Michigan State team should keep an eye on, that's going to make an immediate impact? Is there any guy who's going to make an immediate impact that Michigan State maybe did not see coming? Not to, discredit Donnie Corley, but he's expected to play right away, and so that wouldn't really be someone like that.
Joe Bocci, even though the linebackers, I don't know if he might redshirt, but I think he's going to be a very good player. He's very underrated, early enrollee. But, this is a tough question. I think Justin Lane, the wide receiver, is getting really, really underlooked. He's the top wide receiver coming out of Ohio. He had offers from Alabama, Ohio State, and Michigan, and other big schools. I think he's going to make a big impact. He could play right away, too, with the other two wide receivers that you mentioned, Chambers and Corley, who are enrolled early. But you know what? Look out for Demetric Vance, the safety out of Cass Tech. They're going to be pretty deep at the safety position with the true freshman that played this year with Miller and Willis. Yep. I could see Vance playing. He can make an impact on special teams, I think. He's very athletic. He played at Cass Tech, which is a big time program, and either them or Detroit King is probably the best high school program in the state of Michigan. And he played there, and he's a big time athlete, so I look for him to make an impact immediately too.
All right. Well, you talk about him playing on special teams. You've seen that happen before, because Demetrius Cox is going to leave, so you'll have Monte Nicholson. Grayson Miller, he looks solid at times, but he looked like a freshman. Still, there's a bit of a ceiling for him. Kari Willis, he didn't live up to the expectation so much. So, with that in mind, when you look at guys who can play on special teams, you can go back to Darian Hicks. He did not get redshirted, but at the same time, he didn't play. He didn't play over Trey Waynes, and he didn't play over Darquez Denard.
Yeah.
And so there's always the opportunity on special teams or whatever. And I guess you could kind of say you saw that with Andrew Dowell, even though he did play a lot during the Air Force game. In fact, I think he was – I don't know about you, but I know he was, my most valuable player when we did our recap for the game against the Falcons. So I'm not sure which way you went on that. But he was primarily a special teams player this year.
Yeah.
And so there are freshmen like that who – keep in mind, D'Antonio didn't know what Ed Davis was going to do as far as getting that sixth year of eligibility, which it looks like he's going to get. He is going to request it. And Darian Harris is leaving. You needed another linebacker to step up next to Resh Gambola.
Yep. And like I said, Joey Bocci is a guy to look out for. He wasn't highly recruited, but I think that he'll be a pretty good player. And Brandon Randall as well is coming in. He was an Army All-American. He did not enroll early, but he could be a guy who, like I said with Bocci and Vance, could make an impact on special teams. There's probably going to be one or two guys that are going to be fighting not to redshirt and play on special teams, and I think that's probably going to be between Vance, Bocci, and Randall. I think those are the three guys that you'll see battling for those special teams plays. So we'll see.
And frankly, a linebacker this year, now that Davis is probably going to be there, you already have Reschke, you already have Bola, you have Fry, you have Shane Jones, you have Andrew Dowell. There's not a lot of room to crack as far as the rotation for the linebackers. So if you watch a guy like Bocci or Randall, there it is. Names are just escaping us today. I'm not sure what's going on. But if you watch a guy like Bocci or Randall, if they play, it's probably going to be on special teams, or it's probably going to be against Furman.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, D'Antonio likes to redshirt his guys, so we'll see. I mean, I think that there's a couple guys on the defensive line that could play early. Josh King and Austin Robertson and Naquan Jones. And I think Diabate, if he comes, are those four guys that I think that could contribute immediately. I don't think anybody's going to make him a Lake McDowell true freshman impact like he did, because Lake McDowell is obviously a whole different animal. But, I mean, sure. Josh King, he's the defensive end coming out of Illinois. Everybody from around the country wanted him. Big kid. Kind of lean, might need to put on some pounds, but I think he might be the best defensive lineman in this class, which is a very good
And we'll see regarding the defensive lineman. If one of those freshmen do end up stepping up and even starting at defensive end, just because of the unknown with Montez Sweat. If Sweat comes back, I think he's got the starting job, and I think a couple of those guys are rotational players. But if he doesn't, there's an open spot opposite of Demetrius Cooper. Give us a...
Flip, out of all these recruits, I honestly
Who would drop Michigan State?
I don't think anybody's going to leave. I'd be very shocked if they have any attrition. But, you know, I haven't really heard anything on that front. With anybody having any second thoughts, I think that the guys that left earlier, like Morris and Adams and Cup, those are guys that would have flipped on signing day if D'Antonio didn't take action on what happened there. I don't think you're going to see anybody wind up flipping in this class at the last minute. The last time that happened, I think, was Darius Slayton. He was only committed for like 2 weeks and he went to Ohio State. So you rarely see that happen with D'Antonio classes.
Yeah, that's he does a good job locking them up once it gets close to that time. So there's not a lot to worry about, but there is a lot to look forward to on the recruiting front tomorrow. Ryan, we've got just a couple minutes left. Let's get your prediction for this weekend's game. Let's go back to basketball. What happens, Michigan State?
I think the difference. It's going to be Michigan State's play in the post. I know Michigan doesn't play much in the post, but Michigan State's going to – I think they're going to go inside out, and they're going to have Costello and Davis, especially Costello, make a big impact on offense. I see Michigan State winning. You know, they're going to hit their fair share of three-pointers. I don't think it's going to be a barrage like the Rutgers game, but they'll get their share. I see a close game. I see Michigan State winning 66-63.
Man, I don't know if my heart would be able to handle something like that. That does it for us today. You'll get my prediction later in the week, Thursday or Friday, whenever we decide to do our last show. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. Be sure to check out the show tomorrow as friend of the program, Anthony Ayani, joins us to talk about the team so far this season and, of course, the big rivalry with U of M. You've been listening to the iSports.